A Hamas leader says the group is close to reaching a truce agreement with Israel. Let's get more on that now from News Nation's national security contributor, Lieutenant General Richard Newton. Sir, I know you are a 34-year military veteran, so you know about strategy. And would the hang-up here be how long the truce would be? I know for a while Israel was saying maybe a humanitarian pause, but not a truce. What do you think is going on here?
Well, good morning, Bob. I think my first thoughts are, I think we should be hopeful. But still, there's a lot of work to be done. Israel has still intensified its offensive operations in the northern part of Gaza. In fact, they struck 250 targets in the last 24 hours to the north, actually to the north of Gaza City. But nonetheless, I think there's a potential here to free dozens of hostages. Now, part of the deal would be to include also Palestinian criminals and others that have been in Israeli jail for years, about 150. So, but there's certainly mounting pressure, both domestically for Prime Minister Netanyahu, as well as internationally, to create a pause on the battlefield as part of the negotiation, say, for a period of 4 to 6 hours, or say over 3 or 4 days, whereby the hostages would be a portion of the hostages. Rumor, there's 239, my number tell me, of hostages to be released. And then from there, could there be other phases of pauses and more hostage releases? That's still to be determined, but right now everything points towards over the next couple of days or several days for a somewhat of a transfer of hostages as well as Israeli prisoners to be swapped.
Hamas, of course, would like the pause to be as long as possible so they could possibly recapture some of the or recuperate some of the military capability they've lost. Israel would want it to be on the short end. And how do you work that negotiation? I know Qatar has been involved in that.
Yeah, actually, the heart of your question is spot on. Time is on the side of Hamas. It's not on the side of Israel. Hamas knows that. Hamas is, from a strategic standpoint, Bob, you and I might have talked about this a week or so ago, but really, strategically, Hamas is trying to create a stalemate, try to create time on their side of not only the conflict, but now the negotiations. And so the negotiations are now being brokered by Egypt and Qatar, as you mentioned. And so we'll see how that goes. I think you're going to need to see both those Arab countries as well as perhaps the United States also involved as well. But Israel would pause in not only its air power, combat strikes, but also would pause its reconnaissance of using its drones and surveillance, say, over northern Gaza and so forth. And so that would be something that Hamas would be very interested in, because essentially Israel, their military, their ground force, has been very, very successful in the northern part. And so 6 weeks into this conflict, since Hamas attacked Israel back on October 7th, Israel has pretty much encircled and has controlled the northern part of Gaza. Now, everything now, the attention swings, as well as the Hamas fighters now to the south. And that would give Hamas an opportunity to not only relocate, but to reset its combat forces down in the south, which is going to be a very, very tough fight, even more bloody than what we've seen in Gaza.
It seems like such an impossible situation here. You've got hostages, you've got the humanitarian crisis, you've got Hamas using the civilians as shields, and what about the harder evidence that it seems the whole world is waiting to see about a command and control center under the hospital?
I think you're seeing that play out. Both sides are conducting a very effective, what I would call, an information warfare campaign here. Hamas appears to be the victim, where they're trying to portray Israel as the attacker. It's really just the opposite, frankly. But we're going to see atrocities, I believe, coming out of Gaza City. And certainly once some of these hostages are released, you're going to hear horror stories, unfortunately. But it is. It's a very complex. In fact, this may be the most complex military campaign, to put it into that context, if you will, I've seen in my 34 plus years now, 10 years since I retired from active duty. Certainly it is a crisis that really meets no comparison to Israel's 75-year history as a nation state. And then you throw in this construct of new warfare. It's an very unfortunate one where civilians are used as literally tools on the battlefield, you know, from Hamas and Hezbollah, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. It's now out of their playbook, where civilians are legitimate targets from their perspective. So it becomes an ensuing humanitarian crisis also. And so that's what Netanyahu and his government's facing, and they're getting both pressure domestically as well as internationally. In my view, they're not the victim here. You know, they're the ones that were attacked and so forth. But and I believe Israel's taken all feasible actions and precautions to really to avoid civilian casualties, whereby Hamas is literally using them as human shields. But I'll close on this point, is that I think at the end of the day, you know, when the conflict is resolved somehow, and I don't have an answer for you quite yet, you're going to see atrocities of a magnitude that we've never seen before, Bob. It'll be frightening, but it also brings out this whole idea of what the new nature of warfare looks like, you know, from 2023 moving forward, unfortunately.
And if all that isn't complicated and difficult enough, you've got the question of what happens the day after the war ends. I mean, that's some kind of problem.
It is. That's extraordinary. A very difficult problem, because it's one thing as we're going through phase one, or now phase two, where you've got the Israeli ground forces committed in Gaza. The phase three part is to restore orders, to restore some modicum of governance inside of Gaza once the actual kinetic aspect of the conflict is concluded. But then the fourth phase of this, and what I call the fourth phase, will be, okay, now what is the long-term governance? What's the long-term strategy? I don't believe Israel is in a position to really govern in Gaza for the next several years, much less decades. I think you're going to have some Palestinian leadership. Perhaps it's a Palestinian Liberation Authority, but it certainly can't be to what was handed over to Hamas, that is Iranian puppet, back in 2005, 6, and 7. This is what you get as a result of that. There will have to be some order created, but the strategy behind all that, we're in just the second phase. We'll see the third phase and the fourth phase. My final point is, we're not talking weeks or months here, Bob, over those entire four-phase strategy that we just briefly articulated. That's over years, and that'll be very complicated and very transformational.
Always interesting to get your insights. News Nation National Security Contributor Lieutenant General Richard Newton, thank you, sir, and I hope you have a terrific holiday.
Thank you, Bob. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.